In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's the case sometimes that we will, when we read, we will skip over things that don't seem to be very important. The first part of the gospel that we just prayed says, "But I say to you who hear." What does that mean? I say to you who hear. I told Anton, I said, I want you to think about what in Arabic is isma kalam. In English, do you hear what I said? You see, the Jews do not have 10 commandments. They have 11 commandments. The Jews have 11 commandments. You've never been told this before, but this is the way it is. The first half of the first commandment they consider to be the first commandment, which is the Shema. It sounds like Esma in Arabic. The Shema means, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." Hear. Now, the word, when it's parsed, it means not just to hear, but it means to do. It means to do. Do you understand? When it says, "But I say to you who hear," it could have just as easily been written, "I say to you, those of you who are willing to obey and follow instruction." You can look at every English Bible, and you can look at the 24th chapter of Exodus, verse 7. Easy for you to remember, 24-7, right? Exodus 24-7. You will not find in the translation what I am now going to tell you is the Jewish understanding. And it is the same understanding that Jesus uses when he says many times throughout Scripture, "Do you have ears to hear? Do you have eyes to see?" What's the implication? Of course you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Everyone does. But are you going to obey what you've heard? Are you going to follow and imitate those things that you have seen? Exodus 24:7. In the Jewish understanding, we will do, and then we will understand. Everything in America is exactly the opposite. I want you to go to the store. Why? Present first your rationale about why I should do the work. What is the rationale? What is the meaning? What is the basis? What's the logic? Why are you telling me to do this thing? But see the humble nature of people who are seeking the will of God? Seeking the will of God. How many times do we read that David would say, "I meditate upon the law of the Lord day and night, day and night"? Who is actually trying to understand what's written here? Now, this is not just meant for the disciples. It was about them that he was speaking directly in this moment, but it's about us today. In the case of justice in the Old Testament, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a wound for a wound, a bruise for a bruise, etc., etc. What this meant was, when you have been injured in any way, financially, emotionally, whatever it happened to be, if you have been injured, you may not require repayment in a greater amount than your injury, than the injury you yourself sustained. I punch you in the nose. Now you have the freedom not to punch me in the nose. But if you decide that's all you can do, you can't punch me in the nose and then poke me in the eye. Do you understand? It was giving a limit to retribution. But the Lord is saying now, no, 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 no. If you want to be justified, and if you want to be in the world, and if you want to imitate the world, then that's your criteria. If you've been hurt, hurt back. I'll sue you. You know how many times I've heard, I'll sue you in my house, my own house? I'll sue you. You're allowed to do that. But then who are you imitating? Who are you imitating? Who really wants to be a Christian today? This is what's going on further. These are horrible things that have been said. Did you pay attention to them? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. I have a hard time being good to those who love me. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. I become a Jew at that point. you may know that there's now a professional group in martial arts that does slap fighting. One guy slaps the first guy as hard as he can, and if the guy is still standing, then the guy who's still standing after having been slapped slaps the next guy. I'm telling you, if you don't know about this, it's a fact. This is not what Jesus Christ had in mind, and it's not what he did. It's not what he imitated. He said, if somebody's going to take away the coat that you're wearing, offer him, if he needs it, also your shirt. Do you know that the prophet was told to walk about naked in front of all of the people? The great prophet. It's amazing. If you love those who love you back, this is called in Latin quid pro quo. In English, tit for tat. Sinners love those who love them. I mean, Eva Braun loved Adolf Hitler and married him in a bunker and took the poison pill that he said for her to take hours afterwards. What do you hope to receive back from God if your expectation is that what you have lent to others will be returned to you? You're even again. That's the law. I loan you $50, you pay me back $50. Now you see, that's lawful. I'm not taking interest. It's written in the Holy Scripture, he who lends his money without interest will not be condemned. But you're not praised either. You're not a son of God either. You are a righteous son of the world. And it's a difference between being a righteous son of the world and being a follower of Jesus Christ. I despair many times when I tell somebody to do something that's hard, knowing in advance they're not going to do it. They're going to listen politely, and they'll say, thank you for coming to my house, now goodbye. Yeah. Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be called the sons of the highest, because he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Who can hear this? Judge not, and you won't be judged. You know, we come from a system of education where we are continuously put up against everybody else in a class, and we compete for honor, and we are used to the judgment, and we fight to get the gold star when we're a child. We bring it home with great, great happiness to our parents. Look what I've received. And we get this all the years that we're in school. Oh, if you have this GPA, you're eligible, perhaps, to go to this university. If your test scores are at a certain level, you're eligible for this university. We're raised this way. This is not Christian. This is not Christian at all, but it is a system that if you want to prevail in that system, and if you want to take advantage of all of the things that are in that system, then you have to do what that system requires, and that means to give up your Christianity for the most part and become like the world. And then we do that 6 days a week, and then we come into church and say, I'm Christian. We're really not. The Lord said these same things again to his disciples after they had witnessed him. When he says, do not just give away your coat, but give away your shirt as well, if you're asked. The Lord was stripped almost naked on the cross. Everything was taken from him. Remember the centurions who were parting his garments, and there was one that had no seam in it, and so they played a game of dice to see who would win it. The Lord had nothing. He did exactly what he is asking us now to do. But in order for us to do that, we have to have faith in him. We have to have our eyes more fixed firmly on heaven than on the earth. There are so many parents that push their kids to get grades, and the grades are so important. But what we're doing in the same time is that we're giving them a way to fail at Christianity. People say, oh, don't go to church, you have a test. Or you can't fast now, you have a test. Don't help your friend with his problems in his study, because it's going to pull away from you some of your effort to show your own excellence. Because the goal is to show your own excellence. The world says this over and over and over, and then you know what it does? Ah, you're excellent. Take money. Oh, I love money. I love money. The more money I have, the happier I am. I want money. Well, as this saying goes, you can't take it with you, can you? But while you're here, that's how you keep score. I want money. I want position. I want power. I want acclaim. I want. The Lord listened to all of the people that were saying things that were horrible about him while he was hanging on the cross, and he said nothing except this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave his enemies, just as it says here. Every single thing that it says here, the Lord performed, so that when they saw the truth of his resurrection from the dead, they wouldn't be faint-hearted. Well, we've not seen his resurrection from the dead, but we've heard about it. We've heard about it from the best witnesses ever. And we've seen the zeal of martyrs in our age, who, for the sake of the love of Jesus Christ and the belief in him, gave up everything. I was complaining to the people one time when I was throwing water, they were turning away their face. I said, the Lord didn't even hide his face from spitting, and you're taking holy water as kind of an insult if it hits you in the face. Of course, the old woman won it right in the face, and so did the men. And if you don't hit it, which has to do a lot with my personal accuracy, it's rugged. But I tell you this because it's a challenge for me. I've not met this challenge, but this is the challenge. Do you want to be like the world? It says, love not the world, neither the things pertaining to the world and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God will endure forever. It says that. And we, every single time you come to church, you hear that. Is that how we really feel as soon as we leave church? As soon as you get on the road and somebody moves over their car and slows you down on the freeway? Is that how you feel? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Of course they don't know who I am. Do you, but this is going on inside me. Do you know who I am? I'm something great. Now, maybe not to the world, maybe not even to God, maybe not even to my own family, but in my own estimation of self, I'm great. Get out of my way. You slowed me down. I was going 70 miles an hour and you're going 65. If you don't want to go 70 miles an hour, take one of the lanes over to the right. Don't get into the fast lane. That's meant for me. I'm special. That's how we've been trained. I don't blame you any more than I blame myself for the way that I was trained, because I didn't make a decision about how that was going to be. But now I've got to try to throw off the residue of that. And that's hard. That's hard. When you make the dean's list in school, and like me, I was paid to go to school. I made money going to school. So you feel great about yourself, don't you? You look at all the other people. I used to say, and I've told this sometime before, the professor said, well, there were two A's in the class. And I raised my voice, like, who got the other one? Right? That's how my ego was. I know it's true, though, I got an A. But the point is, I was trained to do that. And now the Lord is saying with this to you and to me, however it is you find yourself, this is really the goal. This is really the goal. So, who has ears to hear? It just doesn't mean hear. You've heard me speak. But to hear means to obey, to do. And once you do, you will understand. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.